Who Do You Say I Am? That's the name of the message today. Roy Usher, thank you for singing that song. That really surprised me, but it's going to fit so well into the introduction of today's message. That song is by a group called Hillsong Worship. And the lyrics actually answer the question, who does Jesus say I am? Who does Jesus say I am? Well, at the beginning of the song, the question comes up, who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Then the song lyrics actually begin to answer that question. According to the song, and I believe according to the Word of God, the answer to the question, who do you say I am? I am a child of God. I am free. I am chosen. I am not forsaken. And then here's the bottom line. I am who you say I am. I'm all that and more. I love that song because I can identify with it. And if you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then you're all that too and more. But as I thought about that, and I thought about today's scriptures, I want to reverse that question. Instead of the question, who do you say I am? What if we turned it around and said, who do I say Jesus is? Who do I say Jesus is? Well, the answer to that question is going to be in today's message. And it's a question that we all must answer before we die. So Matthew 16, starting with verse 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, and still some say you're some other prophet. Then he asked them, But who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Well, today in these scriptures, we're covering Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ. And let's remember the context of what's been going on in the book of Matthew. Jesus has been ministering and performing miracles all throughout the region. However, the Pharisees and Sadducees don't think very much of Jesus. Jesus just had told his followers to beware of the Pharisees and Sadducees and their teaching. He knows what they think of him. In this passage, Jesus is going to ask others what they think of him. He and his disciples are in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And this region is north of Galilee and was full of the worship of false gods, including the Greek god Pan. In fact, there was a temple outside a cave devoted to this very false god. And it's in the midst of this pagan region that Jesus asks a couple crucial questions. The first is a general question, and it's from verses 13 and 14. Now, Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and he knows that people have said things about him. He surely knows what people have said about him, but he initiates this conversation with his disciples. He asks them this general question concerning who others think he is. So verse 13 and 14 again. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." The disciples responded to Jesus' question regarding who others thought he was. The people apparently thought he was, that Jesus was one of the former Jewish prophets. And they named some very famous prophets who have come back from the dead, is what they thought. Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. Some even thought he was some other prophet from the past. We might wonder why people thought that Jesus was one of these prophets. Well, these were monumental figures in the history of Judaism. And they did special things in their ministry. Well, Jesus obviously was doing some very special work. So the people thought maybe one of those guys had come back from the dead. Remember, Jesus wasn't being interviewed by Barbara Walters or Larry King. So people didn't know that much about him. They didn't know the details. So they were going off of what they had heard from others. Or maybe even some people had caught a glimpse of Jesus as he was going through their area to teach. In general, the people knew that there was something special about Jesus. But they did not know how special he was. The disciples knew Jesus in a deeper way. Which is why Jesus asks another question. And this is the pressing question. This is a more important question. This is a more specific question. This question matters more than the first. So again, looking at verse 15. Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" The question gets to the heart of the disciples' understanding of who Jesus is and why he came. The first question was a setup for the second question. This is a pressing question for all of us. This is a question that is both time sensitive and future changing. So I'm asking all of us the question, who do you say Jesus is? I've already asked that question a few times, and I'll be asking it a few more times, so that hopefully during this whole message, you're already answering it. Now, I said it was time sensitive. It's because we only have our lifetime to answer that question. And we don't know how long we'll live, do we? At the Kenner Church this morning, I was a little late even coming here because of some extra discussion about a family who just lost a child. This was a family who the wife got pregnant later in life for a second pregnancy, and it ended up being twins. When they were born, there was complications. One of the twins eventually got to come home, whereas the other continued to stay in the hospital in Indianapolis. So this Newcastle family moved to Avon to be with one of the parents, living with them so they could more easily get back and forth to the hospital at St. Vincent's, or Peyton Manning Hospital, I think is where it was. And on last Monday, that baby died. So here's an 8-month-old baby that's passed away. Now I believe with all my heart that God has welcomed that child into heaven, and that child is going to grow up in a place much better than this earth. But a whole lot of people are saddened to depths that we don't even understand. Now that the father of this child, he was working for a landscaping company on the west side. He had to take off so much work for being at the hospital that last week he lost his job when he lost his child. They're in the process of moving to Newcastle, back home with their 8-year-old child and this 8-month-old baby. And plans are he'll start a new job in Muncie. 8 months. We don't know. Some children don't make it out of the womb. And then my father-in-law, we took him out yesterday for, he had gone on one of these things called the honor flights. It's for veterans, and he's a World War II veteran. He was able to go on to that 10 years ago. Well, they have a reunion every year at Plainfield, and we took him and spent 7 hours taking him out there, the reunion and dinner afterwards, and he's over 100. There was one other gentleman there from World War II who was 6 months older than Glenn. And that man was in a wheelchair, and here's Glenn just walking around with a cane doing better than me. It's a time-sensitive question. Who do you say Jesus is? Because we don't know how long our lifetime will be. I also said it was a future-changing question, because the answer to that question determines where you will spend eternity. This heart-penetrating question is followed with a heart-filled answer, and that's the next point. Peter, on behalf of the other disciples, offers an answer to Jesus' question. Here's verses 16 and 17 again. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." We know Simon Peter is sometimes referred to as just Simon or just Peter. If you know anything about him, you know that he's not afraid to speak up. You know those kids that you went to school with, particularly in grade school, but maybe high school too. The teacher asks a question, and they're the first one to raise their hand. They're always raising their hand. They're waving it back and forth because they want to give the teacher the answer. Well, that was kind of the way Peter was. And he speaks up on behalf of all the disciples and delivers a glorious answer. Now, here they are in the middle of a town devoted to a pagan god, in the middle of the religious leaders rejecting Jesus. They're in the middle of people having a substandard view of who Jesus truly is. And yet Peter announces, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One. You are the Son of the living God." Let me stop now and compare your answer, because I've been asking it all along. Compare your answer to Peter's. So here it is. Do you say Jesus is the Christ? Do you say Jesus is the Messiah? Do you say Jesus is the Anointed One? And do you say Jesus is the Son of the living God? You know, back to Peter, he didn't always get things right. If we know anything about him, he got it wrong a lot, but this time he got it right for sure. This teacher's pet, you might say, got an A+ and a smiley face on this pop quiz from Jesus. Jesus is both the Messiah and the Son of God. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. He's not just another way to God. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter understood, and we need to understand as well. Jesus himself acknowledged that Peter got it right. Jesus commended Peter by saying, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you because what you said about me." And Jesus didn't correct Peter. He didn't say, "You got it close." He says, "You are blessed, Peter." And then he says, in essence, that this profession by Peter is so blessed that he could not have come up with it on his own. He did not learn it by human wisdom. So I can imagine this, just as Peter gave this glorious answer, and it's kind of strutting like this, his head, his hat size growing larger and larger, Jesus brings him right back down to earth again. It didn't come from you, Peter. It came from the Heavenly Father. And I think that says something to us. We need to remember that when God gives us information, wisdom, he gets the credit, not us. Peter was only able to understand the role of Jesus and believe in Jesus because God had revealed it to him. Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So it appears that only God can reveal this kind of truth. Sometimes we wonder why people don't believe despite all the evidence. Maybe the answer is because God must open eyes to his heavenly truth. He's opened our eyes. I believe we're probably already there. I believe I know how you've answered the question already about who Jesus is. Who do you say Jesus is? But not everyone has. Maybe God hasn't opened their eyes just yet. So keep doing your part, and he'll do his part. In essence, we need God to help us receive God. So what say you? I'm asking the question again. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, Jesus not only commended and affirmed Peter, but he gave him a glimpse into the future of what we call the church. Not Cat's friends, the church. All around the world, capital C. So it takes us to our last point, and I'll be wrapping this up. In verses 18 to 20, and specifically 18 and 19, I want to focus on. These are the final few verses that are some of the most debated in history. The interpretations of these verses have created confusion among like-minded believers. And they have forced many into unnecessary theological boxes. We'll see that none of these issues are necessary. These verses, although a bit confusing, actually have a simple, foundational meaning and application. So again, verses 18 and 19. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, there are a few questions that arise from this passage. First of all, who is the rock? The name Peter sounds similar to the word rock in Aramaic, and that was the spoken language of the day. His name also sounds familiar to the word rock in Greek, which was the written language of the day. So, is Jesus calling Peter the rock, or is he making a play on words to communicate something else? The short answer is we cannot know for sure. So I've got three perhaps to share with you. Perhaps Jesus is saying that Peter is indeed the rock on which he will build his church. And that makes sense in one regard, because Peter was one of the instrumental apostles in the early church, and his name sounds like rock, whether in writing or orally. Here's a second perhaps. Perhaps Jesus was speaking of himself. He was saying to Peter, as your name means rock, I will build the church on myself, the better rock. And so that could make sense as well. Lastly, perhaps the rock is the confession that Peter made that Jesus is the Christ, is the living Son of God. This confession will be the rock on which the church is built. And that makes sense too. Again, we don't know for sure exactly what Jesus meant, but we will see that they all point to the same foundation. The second question. First question was about the rock. Second question, what does it mean that the powers of hell will not conquer the church? depending on the translation of your Bible, it may say the powers of hell, or it may say the gates of Hades, the gates of Sheol, or the gates of death. In the days that this was spoken by Jesus, this could mean something like the phrase, the power of death will not conquer the church, or the power of the grave will not conquer the church. So, in any translation of the phrase, we can discern that the meaning is that neither spiritual darkness nor the power of death will be able to stop the work of Jesus through his church. Now that's the Caddis Church and all the other churches of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Nothing can stop the power of Jesus. That's what that's saying. That's the point. Now there's a third question that we might wrestle with, and that is, what's the deal with the keys? What about the keys to the kingdom of heaven and binding things, loosening things? It seems that this pertains to the exclusive saving power of the gospel of Jesus. As the apostles, and then later the church, capital C, proclaim the message of Jesus, those who accept the message of Jesus will be saved. And those who do not accept the message of Jesus will not be saved from their sins. The keys to heaven are held in the message and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The teachings of Jesus passed down through the apostles and later to the church are the Word of God. The Word of God is what's binding on earth and binding in heaven. And this takes us to our bottom line. Who we believe Jesus is determines who we will be. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is the key ingredient here. What we believe about Jesus can rescue us from the powers of hell. What we believe about Jesus can unlock the kingdom of heaven. What we believe about Jesus determines who we will be and what our future will be. Jesus asked the disciples, here it is again, who do you say I am? And Jesus is asking us as a group today, as we look at these passages, who do you say I am? And this is the most important question of your life. It changes everything. Is he Messiah? Is he the Son of the living God? What foundation is your life built upon? Is it built upon your legacy, your family, your hard work, your money, your job, your reputation, your intelligence? I hope not. Is it even built on this church? Or is your life built on the solid rock, Jesus the Messiah? Just about to finish here, a couple more things. The message we have in the gospel is the confession that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of the living God. It is the foundation of the church. It is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And it is the escape from the powers of hell. Some of you, I'm hoping all of you, have already felt that Spirit of God move in your heart and your mind to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We all know that we need to be changed by Jesus. If someone has not done this, I would pray that you would come to him today. Be set free from the power of death and hell. The keys to heaven are yours for the taking. Come to Jesus.